Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We have a very special Sunday today. We call it a Relay Sunday because we have some of our amazing team. Can we give them a hand? So fun. So great. We have Trudy, who oversees our nursery department. We have Colton, who is in Voltage. And we have Pete, who is part of our worship and creative and production team. And we're on the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at, we've started a new series called Disciple. What does it mean to actually be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And they're going to continue on that theme today. Disciples live in freedom. And so I asked them, they're going to share around some of their own personal experience, but what walking in freedom, how that's impacted their journey with Jesus, how walking with him has brought freedom to their life. So Trudy, come on up, give her a hand.
Well, speaking in front of people is not easy for me. So when I was asked to share my story, every part of me wanted to say no. But I knew I couldn't let fear hold me back, because how fortunate am I that I have a redemption story to tell? And how can I say no to sharing how God's love, his grace, and his forgiveness has set me free? So today I'm going to share my story. I'm going to share a bit about my background and my struggles to help you understand the brokenness God healed me from. My hope is to show you that God can completely heal you regardless of your situation, but also that it doesn't stop with our own freedom, because when we live healed and free and can plant seeds of faith in our children, and we can disciple and anyone we disciple, we are creating a pathway of freedom for future generations. I'm speaking about generational discipleship. I should mention in my testimony there is some adult content, so just so parents are aware. I grew up in a small Mennonite community. I attended church throughout my childhood, but I never really had a personal relationship with Jesus. When I was a year old, my dad left and he was virtually absent in my childhood. My mom had a very traumatic upbringing, and after my dad left, she battled depression. There were moments during my childhood when she didn't want to live anymore. As a child, I'm going to try and keep it together. As a child, I didn't understand that their choices and struggles weren't about me. In my young heart, it felt like I wasn't good enough to make either of my parents want to stay. I also suffered sexual abuse from a cousin. That experience left me feeling incredibly vulnerable, damaged, and ashamed. I carried this constant fear that someone would find out and they would think something's wrong with me. These childhood wounds led me to believe I wasn't enough. Something was broken in me and that I wasn't worthy of love. So I searched for acceptance in all the wrong places. I started drinking and going to parties at a young age, using my body to gain attention and feel wanted, because that is all I thought I had to offer. But it left me feeling more empty, more ashamed, and more lost. I found myself in unhealthy, even abusive relationships. When I was 19, I got involved with someone that was part of the after-hours party scene. I got sucked into that world too. Thankfully, some of the convictions from growing up in church still echoed in my mind, so I never got involved in the hard drugs, but I certainly skimmed the surface, and I stayed in that destructive lifestyle for 5 years. I was so ashamed of the life I was living that I hid it from my family. I was living a double life, and it was tearing me apart. I desperately wanted out, but I struggled to find the strength to break free. During this time, I would feel God convictions and a pull away from that life, which is a little bit crazy because I didn't even really believe in God at that time. But I did fear what would happen to me in eternity if there was a God. Finally, at 25, I decided to leave that life behind. I cut ties with the people and the relationships that were part of that world, and I started fresh. I went to university, met my amazing husband, who treated me with love, respect, and kindness. And we decided to start a family. We struggled through the heartbreak of multiple miscarriages, and it triggered all those old feelings I had of not being enough, and this was a difficult time for me. Thankfully, with the help of doctors, we found answers and we were blessed with two beautiful children. On the outside, my life looked perfect at this point. I had a great husband, I had healthy kids, financial stability, but But inside, I still carried guilt, shame, regret. I was angry and I was struggling with unforgiveness for both what had been done to me and for things I had done to others. When my son was 2 and my daughter was just 6 months old, I signed up for Freedom Session. My mom and 2 sisters had taken the course and it had been life-changing for them. And it is the tool Jesus used to bring healing and restoration into my life. During those 9 months, God completely transformed me. I confessed my sins to a sponsor, and in doing so, the chains of sin and shame were broken. Sin flourishes in secrecy and concealment. This is where the enemy thrives. But when sin is brought into the open and into the light, its power to deceive or control you diminishes. It loses its hold it has on you. I remember one night at Freedom Session, the topic was giving our lives to Jesus, and I was kind of annoyed. I was thinking, this is so dumb, I'm not going to do that. I struggled with believing that there is a God and how he could be all-knowing and all-loving. And I just couldn't figure out how it all worked. But then that very week when I was doing my homework, I read something that said we didn't need to have all the answers and we didn't need to be perfect. God wanted us just the way we are. This hit me hard, and in that moment, my fight against God ended. I realized that I could just trust in the moments when I had felt his presence, and that's all the answer I needed. I didn't need to wait till I was more Christ-like. He wanted a relationship with me now. My walls came down that day, and I decided to give my life to Jesus. I came to realize that God had forgiven me, and I was able to forgive myself. I began to understand that I was not that person anymore. I was able to work through forgiving others that had deeply hurt me and ask people that I had hurt for forgiveness. And I was not only able to forgive the people that had hurt me, but also start praying for healing in their lives. I can't even describe the weight that was lifted from me in surrendering my life to God. For the first time, I experienced true healing and love of a father that had never left me. For the first time, I was happy with the person I was, and I had never been able to say or feel that before. Not feeling the guilt, shame, and regret, and the anger was a freedom I didn't know was possible. This is a healing that God wants for each of us. He wants us to have life to the full now. He wants us thriving and experiencing the fullness of his blessing. He wants us to live in freedom now for ourselves, our children, and for future generations. In June, my daughter Hayden was baptized. And if I hadn't found freedom, Hayden likely would not have surrendered her life to Jesus either. So when we break the chains of sin, we don't just change ourselves, we change the generations that come after us. God is our Redeemer. Yes, thank you. He can fully heal and change us. I can't even recognize myself from the person I used to be. That person does not exist anymore. I can fully and wholeheartedly say that the old me died and I am a new creation in Christ. I am thankful that my mom's faith, always pointed me back to Jesus. It reminds me of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My mom wasn't perfect. No one is. But her faith, even through her pain, planted seeds in me that God later used to draw me back to him. And through me living in freedom and Tyler and I making God a priority in our home, my children have a relationship with Jesus. That's generational discipleship. We don't have to be flawless parents or leaders. We just need to point the next generation toward Jesus. When we live as disciples in freedom, we don't just experience God's healing for ourselves, we create a legacy of freedom for our children and for everyone we disciple. That's the kind of freedom Jesus calls us into, not just for us, but for generations to come.
All right, I'm excited to talk to you today about freedom. Now, freedom to me, when I first got this topic to talk about, freedom to me always come back to when I first started as a Christian, and now going to talk to other Christians about it, it always comes back to talking to non-believers how Christians aren't free, how we always have rules to follow. The Bible is nothing but rules that Christians have to follow. Christians can't go out and drink on the weekends and party. You know, Christians have to wait till marriage to have sex. Christians are too soft. You have to give forgiveness? Don't do that. Hang on to that. But in my walkings and going through, there's no freedom to that. There's no freedom in that bottle. There's no freedom in chasing relationships. There is only freedom in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you," in John 8:34, "Very truly I tell you, whoever sins is a slave to sin." So that the freedom that the world promises isn't freedom at all, it's bondage. It's bondage to the next sin. You'll always be wanting more and more to that. You'll always be wanting another drink on the weekend. You'll always be looking for another relationship to find meaning in yourself, which isn't true freedom, it's slavery to that. Jesus is the only way that promises true freedom to that. And that's what. And reading the Bible in one of my favorite verses is Jesus talks about how water that he gives will always supply us with everything. Always going through. John 4:14, "Whoever drinks from the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up eternal life." Because that's the sense of it. That's what freedom is. It's freedom in Jesus. No other else. He's not talking about physical water. He's talking about his spirit. His spirit is the way to freedom. Paul even mentions it in 2 Corinthians 3:17. He says, "Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Having the Lord's spirit in you is what causes us to have freedom on this earth. Paul establishes here again where we can find freedom in the Lord's spirit through that. And he goes on to further and talking about the fruits of the spirit. Okay, because I'm very visual. I'm very simple. I like seeing things. And the depiction that when they talk about fruit as an emphasis of what it comes from spoke to me. Jesus talks about, in Matthew 7, talks about bearing good fruit and how false prophets, you can identify false prophets by the fruit that they produce. And you can identify what's inside people by the fruit of their actions. In Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are good fruits. But the world doesn't promise that. The world doesn't preach self-control. The world preaches more. Take more. Get more. Have more. The world doesn't preach joy. How much freedom is there in having joy in places where there is none? That's what we're called to be as Christians. Earlier in the chapter, Paul talks about how our flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, about that love, peace, and joy. Our flesh desires hatred and jealousy and discord. There's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in the flesh. Ultimately, fruit isn't produced by accident. It comes from staying connected to a source. And our source is Jesus. That's where we produce good fruit. It isn't possible to produce good fruit unless we abide in Jesus' word and in the scripture. John, and Jesus explains this in John. "If you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples." Hold on to my teaching. There's no age requirement there. There's no country you have to come from. It's if you hold on to my teachings, therefore you are a disciple. There's nothing you have to do that. You love Jesus? Be a disciple. That's where freedom is found, in being a disciple with Jesus. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you
free."
Just making sure you're paying attention. That's good. That's good stuff right there. The truth will set you free. Which is great. Pastor Jeremy talked about that last week and how the world has twisted what truth is. Truth, by definition, is talking about reality, fact. But the world's definition of truth has changed over the years. It's about feelings. It's about that. You may say that, you may act that way, but that's not my truth. That's not what I felt in that moment. And that goes away from what the Bible has taught us. You can see it that way, but it's not my truth. The word has been set apart from what the biblical meaning of truth. If you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is truth then? If the world describes truth as feelings and a sense of reality of oneself, what is truth? Well, the truth is simple, because Jesus said it in John. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one heaven, and it is through Jesus, and that's where we find our freedom. And the only way to do that is by abiding with him." Those are our values here at church, to be with Jesus. We can't become like someone unless we spend time with them. I can't love and get to know my wife unless I spend more and more time with her. And it's the same with having a relationship as Jesus. To be like him, we need to see his heart. We need to see how he acts. And to do that, we read the word so that we can be more like him. And once we're more like him, we act like him in our actions, because we're a reflection to Jesus when we go out into the world. How the world sees Christians and Jesus is a direct reflection of how we act to others. When they see rage and discourse, and if we're identified as a Christian, that's how they're going to identify with Christ, and that's what they're going to see. So we need to act like Jesus and spending more time with him. And it doesn't come on a Sunday. It doesn't come once a week. You can't have a good relationship with someone and talk to them once a week. It has to be a daily thing of taking up your cross and following him. And when he talks about taking up your cross, it's not a physical metaphor of physically taking a cross. It's by a mindset of how we live our lives. And every direction that we take isn't for ourselves, it's for Jesus. And that's what it means to be that way. So when we be like Jesus, become like him, we can finally do what his mission is. And that's to bring heaven to earth. That's to bring freedom to others here on this earth. We can't do that alone. It needs to be abiding by him and producing that fruit. The fruit can only be produced if we spend time with him. The vines. He is the vines. We are the branches. We spend connected to him. That's the only way to reflect him and to act like him, to bring freedom to this world. Because every single year that goes on, it seems the world is getting farther and farther away of what Jesus preached. And in going through walks, because I've walked it, I've lived the life that Trudy lived too, there is no freedom in that. It's by a design purpose that we were supposed to spend our lives with Jesus. It's not by fault. Our human nature pulls away to what oneself wants, but Jesus has called, and by design, we are called back to him, to spend time with him, to be more like him, to bring that freedom to others, because that's what it's about. That's what it's about. The only way to have true freedom on this earth and in the next is to abide with Jesus. And that's the way I live my life. That's the way going forward. And that's the way that it's just the way. I love that. Things work when they're by designed. And that's how it works. Thank you, church.
Okay, here we go. Ready? How many people here, and don't raise your hand, have ever said, don't raise your hand, I will never be like my mother, or I'll never be like my dad, or I'll never be poor, I'll never go bankrupt, or I'll never go bankrupt again, or no one will ever hurt me again. Basically, how many here have ever made an inner vow? We all have. Come on, January 1st. I'm going to lose 40 pounds in the next week. Come on. The definition of an inner vow is a self-directed promise or vow resulting from an unpleasant experience or hurt from a life situation by a parent or somebody else. It's a self-directed promise because we're hurting. We don't make inner vows because we're evil people. We make inner vows because typically we're hurting and we don't want to go back there again. So we put up a wall, right? Now in Matthew 5, verse 33, Jesus said, "Again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black or white. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." So Jesus is saying here, don't make statements of "I promise this" or "I promise that." Those are vows, and they are evil. But here's the question. Why is that evil? Why is it evil to make these vows? It's because if an inner vow is controlling our life, Jesus isn't. So I'm never going to spank my kids, or I'm never going to be poor again. No one's ever going to hurt me again. Any area where we have an operative inner vow, Jesus is not the Lord of that area. Someone says, "I'll never be poor again." Well, Jesus is not the Lord of your finances. If someone says, "I'll never let somebody hurt me again," Jesus is not the Lord of your relationships. So God commands us to do certain things like love others and forgive others and give to the Lord. And if you're saying, "I'm not going to be poor or go bankrupt again," and offering time comes around to church, I have seen it and heard it. Here we go. Church just wants my money. Right? Probably stepping on some toes already. You immediately start to resist because it's a direct threat to the inner vow. When we have an inner vow, we tend to overreact. We can be unteachable, unapproachable, and a little bit crazy sometimes. It's true. So I heard of a couple, husband and wife, married. The wife had never been in the husband's house. He had a house, she had an apartment. And they went to marriage counseling, go figure. And when asked, he said that his mom, his entire life growing up, emasculated his dad. And he said he'd never have a woman in his house that could do that to him. So his wife had never been in his house. Heard of another guy that when he was growing up, he had one pair of pants and two shirts. And he said that when I get older and I can afford it, I'm going to have clothes. And when he got older and he could afford it, the clothing store became his crack house. And he got into an argument with his wife, and she said, you have too many clothes. And he said, no, our closets are too small. All right? These people were not trying to be evil. They're trying to protect a hurt. So now that we know what inner vows are, how do we get over that? How do we get past that? Now, full disclaimer, I am a father of six. And yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. And I reserved the right to tell dad jokes. So ready? Here's how we get over it. Pray like a pirate with the four R's. Yeah, right? I can see you groaning. But you're not going to forget it. It's perfect, okay? Recognize, repent, renounce, and return. You're not going to forget it. Recognize, what is the vow? What did we say? Is it, I'll never be poor, or whatever? What is the vow? Then we repent. Now, what does it mean to repent? It means we apologize to Christ for the vows we have made, then turn our back on it. So if we're walking towards the vow over here, we say, Jesus, I am sorry for following this vow. I'm going to turn my back on it, and I'm going to point my eyes towards Christ. That's what it is to repent, to return or turn the other way, okay? What's after repent? Do you remember? Renounce. Good, because I could have lost my spot. What does it mean to renounce? It's to formally declare your abandonment of the claim, and it means to reject and stop using or consuming. So if it's relationships, to formally abandon that claim, it's to forgive those who hurt you. This is probably going to be the hardest part, but it's very, very important, okay? We make Jesus the Lord of that area. We can pray, Jesus, I bring this now, and I submit to you, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with money or deal with relationships or deal with whatever, emotions, loss, whatever the vow is, I don't know how to deal with it, okay? Then you say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 16 that when you came, you would lead me into all truth. And what I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, is to lead me into truth related to this inner vow or these inner vows. We can have more than one, okay? Now, this probably won't be a one-time thing. Probably have to do this more than once just to remind ourselves that Jesus has set us free. Once you prayed, he set you free, but it's a reminder for ourselves, okay? When we forgive someone, walk out that forgiveness. How do you do that? Well, you bless the person you've forgiven. That's not easy. Bless the person and have somebody or some people accountable to you so that when they hear you talking crap about that person, they go, no, hang on. You forgave that person. Speak blessing. Change your mindset. If it's finances, and I know I've touched mostly on these two because they're the two main ones. If it's finances, ask Jesus how to handle money. And maybe learn to be generous. Learn to tithe. See, God paves his streets in gold, so I'm pretty sure he knows how to handle money better than you and I do, okay? So Jesus wants to be Lord of our lives in every area. That's what it is to walk in freedom and discipleship. Have him the Lord of our life in every area. He is willing, if we let him, to lead us into all truth in all areas. Jesus said in John 15:26 that he was sending the Holy Spirit as a helper. So let the Holy Spirit help. Ask for it, and he is willing and ready to help you, okay? And just like Jeremy said last week, pray every day, Jesus, you are my king, and my life belongs to you today. Amen? Yeah. All right, that is it. I know, hey, right on time. 30 seconds left. All right, thank you.
How do we live in freedom? You know, when it comes down to it, this is not something we can do on our own. You know, I love one of the statements Colton made there at the end. We were made by design to live not in freedom for ourselves, but we were made by design to live in freedom through Christ, in Christ, by His Spirit. And you know, this is what you were made for. This is what you were designed for, a life of freedom in and through Christ. And Trudy, thank you so much. I know how hard that was. Where'd Trudy go? Where'd she go? She's over there. Thank you so much for sharing your story. That's a big thing to be able to be vulnerable like that and just, you know, but man, what you were talking about, you know, how many here this morning, maybe watching online, some of those same things you could resonate with. Maybe the feelings of not being enough. Maybe you've got a past that you've kept secret even from those closest to you. Maybe you have a past that just no matter how many times you keep trying to leave that thing behind, it just keeps rearing its ugly head. It just keeps coming back. It just keeps poking. And there is freedom in Jesus Christ. Can we all stand? I want to invite you to stand, and I want to pray because I really believe there is freedom. You know, in Revelation 12:11, it says they overcame him. And who's the him they're talking about? Well, they overcame the accuser that comes with you're not good enough, the accuser that actually is often the one to poke and provoke and cause us to make those inner vows. I will never. In fact, maybe can we just close our eyes for a moment? And I just want to take a moment, man. What? Maybe there are some inner vows that you have made. I will never. And sometimes they can be made out of a good motive. Sometimes they can be made out of a good intention. I don't want to be like that ex bad thing or whatever that was. Sometimes it can be like, I don't want to repeat. But we are not the ones that can make any of those things happen on our own. We need the power of God's Spirit. We need the life of God's Spirit. And you need to know there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom. Freedom to live out the life God designed you for. Freedom that is comes in layers. Sometimes we'll walk in a measure of freedom. And you know, I just even think maybe even there's some here today where you've walked in a measure of freedom, and all of a sudden in the last season it's felt like you've come up against walls, and maybe even some of the old stuff, it's surfacing, stuff that had been almost dormant, it had been quiet, that voice had been silenced maybe for many years, and all of a sudden it's coming up again. It's like, what is that? Did the work of walking out freedom, the freedom I allowed, the healing I allowed Jesus to bring, did that not mean anything? And it's like, yes, it did, but there is a grace of God that sometimes He brings freedom in layers. And sometimes when voices or thoughts or those things start coming up again, or maybe we're reminded of, man, you remember that thing that you said way back then? And this could be the day where God's saying, now it's time to deal with this next layer of freedom. God wants to bring you freedom. I want you to close your eyes. Just take a moment, and I just want you to quietly, God, are there any vows that you have made that have caused those parts of you, parts of life, to be off limits to God? So gentle, so good. false freedom that's really bondage. You are fiercely committed to us, some of you here. God wants to bring freedom to you today from the Savior complex, where you have taken on the burden of trying to save your family, save this, save that, save this. God wants to bring freedom to you today. There's others that today, man, maybe Trudy's story really resonated with you when she said generational disciples, generational freedom. There are some of you today that today is a day where you can make a stand for the line that comes through you, through the family line. And some of you that this is even relating to, some of you, it might not just be your physical kids, but freedom for the people that you are going to influence. There are people that might look to you in a parental way or a family way, but they're not your blood children. But there is a freedom God wants to release through you in a whole new way. As others, you want, God wants to bring freedom from words that have been spoken over you. They were not words of blessing, but they were words of pain. They were words of heartbreak. They were words that just spoke a reality over your life that is not the reality that Jesus Christ wants you to experience through him. And there are some here, I even believe today, that you are on the verge of going back to something that you have gotten free of, and you need the power of the Spirit of God in a whole new way today. And God's saying, today is a day you need to let me deal with that, and you're going to experience power like never before. And if I could say anything to you, it's just like, it's so clear that it's just like, just don't do it. Don't call that person today that you're thinking about calling. Don't go there. Don't meet with them this week. Don't go to that place, whatever that is. And just make the decision, God, I want another layer of freedom in my life. Can we pray this prayer together, church? First of all, I want to pray. It's a prayer saying yes to Jesus, a yes to following Jesus. He is the freedom that God has wanted to give you. And can we pray this prayer together? If you've never said yes to following Jesus, maybe you've had a mental assent. Yes, I believe in him. I believe in, you know, all these good things he's done. It's a whole different thing to actually say, Jesus, I'm surrendering my life today. I want to follow you. And can we pray this prayer together, church? Say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done on the cross, through your death, through your resurrection and your ascension, where you rule and reign over my life. I surrender to you. I say yes to your salvation gift. I receive your forgiveness, and I say yes to a life following you, living on mission with you. Thank you, Jesus, for a brand new start in today. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you. God, I thank you that this is becoming real, a brand new beginning. God, I pray for every person. God, whether they're in this room, whether they're watching online, Father, let there be a reality of, Father, the salvation gift that you have given to us. God, we thank you. God, I pray even right now that there would just be a brand new sense of your presence, your closeness that has always been there. God, let it come alive in a whole new way for those that are saying yes to you for the first time, or maybe it's a restart for you today. Come on, church, can we celebrate with those that are saying yes? God, thank you. God, thank you. God, we celebrate because you are celebrating. You're so excited. God, you are celebrating about those that come to you. We give you thanks and praise. Now, church, for us, for all those that are in the room and maybe watching, I want to just one more time, close your eyes. And I want to just speak a word of faith. How many of you could say, you recognize, man, there's some stuff, God, I need to get free from? I want to invite you to just put up your hand. Are there any things? I don't care. Was it long-standing, new things, big things, little things, whatever it is, God, I need to get free of this. I'm tired of fighting this on my own. God, will you come into agreement right now? God, you know the circumstances, every hand raised. And Holy Spirit, I ask, come on, let's pray this together. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I cannot get free on my own. I thank you. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Would you fill me afresh with the life and power of God so that I can live and I can walk out freedom, true freedom in Jesus Christ. I receive that now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, thank you. Holy Spirit, would you come? God, a fresh impartation of your life to walk in freedom. God, a fresh impartation. Holy Spirit, of faith to believe that freedom can happen in a moment. Yes, it takes, we walk it out then over time. But God, the freedom that you bring is freedom in a moment. Jesus, thank you. And now God, I pray for a grace to come to each one, a grace to trust you, a grace to receive your power and your strength. Father, to do the hard stuff of choosing freedom, to choose to follow, choose to do the right thing, choose to think differently, choose to apply and to walk out. Father, the discipline of the disciples' life of freedom. God, I thank you for your strength and your grace coming in Jesus' name.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.